You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on?
I don't want you to hurt yourself.
It's already broken. There's steel plate in it.
What's going on with the Sharpie?
What do you mean? Oh, darn it. I forgot that was there.
Ruined the show. But
sorry,
luckily,
about that.
I'm going to save
you
it.
You could have told me that 90
did.
Seconds ago.
Just did.
Said you're arguing about the big three.
Today, no extension for Dak Prescott. Could this be his last year in Dallas? And was Brew right all along? Meanwhile, can the Chiefs win 12 games? Well, Vegas says no. Can they win 20? Well, someone here says yes. And finally, if you're looking for the NBA power rankings, you need to head to your local breakfast buffet, get yourself a plate of bacon and a periodical. Because at 4, we're doing next tier's NBA edition. That's right.
You're disappointed, aren't you?
What?
You want the NFL edition.
No, I like
that. A way too early NFL edition. That's what you want.
Like everything. Alongside Chris Broussard, I'm Kevin Wilds. Nick, any surprises in the tiers? Oh, the Lakers are too high? Wow, that's what I'm going to discuss.
I think there are some significant surprises and maybe an overdue top team on the tiers. So we'll get to all of that at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't think the top team's been the top team yet.
That's what I'm saying. It's overdue.
Memorize. We start with a double overtime classic. Lake Show beat the Bucks. No LeBron. AD goes for 34 and 23. Giannis disappears, and the Lake Show win their fourth in a row. 7-3 in their last 10. Brew, what did you learn from this victory?
Well, the first thing is this wasn't learning something. This was just, man, a little bit frustrating.
Really?
Because you see how good Anthony Davis is when he really wants to be. And look, he's had a great year. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. He's had a great year.
Right. But he could be doing this all the time. The fact he should be in the discussion with Jokic and Giannis and Embiid. And let's face it, he's not. But last night with Giannis on the floor, AD was the best player.
That's right.
AD dominated the backboards, including on the offensive end, with not only Giannis on the floor, but Milwaukee is huge.
Huge.
Their biggest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unstoppable. And defensively, he was great. Look, he made a he's making a run at Defensive Player of the Year, and last night was a great case for him. So in that regard, it was a tad frustrating because he should be playing like this more often, okay? But what I learned is that I think sometimes because of how great LeBron is and how great he's been, like his stature in basketball, I think sometimes the teammates defer too much to him.
Here we go.
Because D'Angelo Russell, when he got going, like halfway through the season, was after LeBron and AD were like, man, play, just be aggressive.
That's right.
Don't worry about, oh, you got to set up LeBron and AD. They're the first two options. Just be aggressive. And D'Angelo Russell's been great since then. And last night you saw what Austin Reeves can do and Russell and Rui. And I think they have, you guys know I've been saying this. I like their supporting cast. I think it's been people have been ripping their other players way too much. I think they have the guys where they can play five-man basketball, move the ball, who's hot, let him get his going. Because LeBron's going to get 25 anyway. He's going to find a way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what I saw last night is, look, these guys are good. And I think they should not try to defer as much to LeBron. He's the top player or second best. But just let him get his in the flow of the game.
Go ahead, Wilds.
Right up to the edge. He's not willing to step over the line.
You're
right there on the edge.
What am I supposed to say?
No, I'm not saying.
He's still their second best player.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying there's not a pecking order, but I'm saying they can play five-player basketball.
Get the stat.
Lakers are 6-4 without LeBron this year.
What are they with him? because they're more than two games above 500. So they would be bet. So they have, they're more above 500 with him than
well,
without him.
Well, at 60% winning with, so, without him.
In the previous 5 years without LeBron,
wise, probably not.
They were winning less than 40% of their games.
Yeah.
So this year feels a little bit different.
Yeah, but you have that little, before I even give my answer, you have this little wry smile that you wanted Brew to give a take.
Yeah, you want
that
me
you
to
actually
rip you.
Had,
like, I'm not,
no,
I'm
which
saying,
is a weird spot.
Good
like, is the, is it, so finish the thought that you
what
were
are they, what are they, Josh? 42 and... 34 and 28 with
them.
The win percentage, the winning percentage is
no,
better
by a tick. Yes,
it's smaller.
And this was
they
a
beat
game,
the Blazers,
and
Spurs, Celtics, Jazz, and the Bucks twice without him.
And,
very good.
Uh-huh. So what is Wilds? You can't 2 minutes into the show have a thought
let the
that
tiger
everyone
out.
Knows
tiger.
You
let
have.
No, nah, let the tiger out.
It's like you guys have never done TV.
Everybody
before.
Knows what
I'm
you want to say.
I'm the host of the show. Now, I just give you guys facts. I say, what do you think?
No.
It's not, what do you think?
That's
not how it works.
What you are trying to lead the audience down a path of, which is not at all where I thought we were going to go here, is, are the Lakers better without LeBron?
What?
Which is obviously... farcical on
no,
its
that,
face.
You,
no, I'm
no,
not
that,
saying that.
Felt like you
they would
that.
Not even be in the hunt for contention without LeBron.
Maybe they just.
But I'm
the
just
Bucks.
Saying they can play.
So there you. So finish the
really?
Thought.
They just
really?
Beat the Bucks.
So
twice.
Either
they would be a contender
don't.
Without LeBron.
I give the take.
No,
or
you
don't.
Just said it.
Yeah,
basically,
you said it.
No,
you said LeBron's holding Anthony Davis back.
I did not say that.
Kind of.
And I wouldn't even talk about AD. I'm talking about the other guy.
Why isn't Anthony Davis playing better? Why is Anthony?
No, because he had his. He's had his chance. He had his chance in New Orleans for what 7 years.
How did
he didn't get it done? Yeah, they won one series. I think.
They won one series, and he was great against Portland in the one series. And then also, nobody thought he was holding Anthony Davis back when they won a championship. Like this is where I will get a little frustrated, because either give the ludicrous take and stand by it, or keep it all to yourself. Don't derail the conversation we're having by winking at the camera and not giving the take.
What did you learn about the Lakers?
So what I learned is I think AD is the best defensive player on the planet. I think that there, and I thought you saw at the end of the game when Dame tried that scoop shot.
Yeah, come on.
But it was because he tried this, Wilds, and you, maybe more sober-minded at midnight watching the game, gave some actual analysis on Twitter, which people misconstrued, which was this was their best option because they were trying to find a way to have Anthony Davis not affect the play, and he still found a way to affect the play. But the biggest difference for the Lakers from the first half of the season when they were mediocre to the last couple months has been their third best guy has played like it.
He's been aggressive.
Austin, and I'm not talking D'Lo, I'm talking Austin Reeves. So D'Lo as well, but Austin Reeves, from October through January, when the Lakers were below 500 or right at 500, Austin Reeves was, in my opinion, one of the more disappointing players in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was real expectation, Brew, that he was going to build on what he had done over the second half of last year and in the playoffs, and instead he went in the other direction. Since then, he has been playing, he's been shooting at a higher clip, he's been playing more efficient, he's been playing more, and the team all of a sudden is winning more than two-thirds of its games. And so because of that, that changes the math on what the Lakers can be. If you have D'Lo playing better, Austin playing the level that I thought he would play at the beginning of the year, AD, listen, we said it in the playoffs last year, AD's offense is going to come and go. His D, that's who he was in college. His defense is going to be the same. Now, maybe he looked too much up to LeBron when he was 17 years old at Kentucky. Maybe that was LeBron's fault too. But I think it's more likely that's who Anthony Davis is as a player, that the offense is going to ebb and flow. But when he has that level of defense, this Lakers team is as scary as just about anybody when the rest of the supporting cast, like you're talking about, plays to that level.
Quickly, before we go on to like big picture, here's a tweet that I found interesting, because Charles Barkley started this street clothes thing and it kind of took off. And it's one of those narratives that once it gets started, because A, it's funny, and B, it's clever, is hard to unwrite. But he's played 96 of his last 100 games and just came off 52 minutes. Let the praise be as loud as the doubt. Usually I don't like to be told what to do, but I was like, you know what, Lakers lead? I think you're right there.
Here's the
I think
one
we owe him maybe not an apology, but I think that narrative has to go away.
I'm shocked that he's that number, 96 out of 100.
Great.
Wow, that's great. And good for AD, because we want him to be healthy. He's a great player and all that. But I'm not about to applaud a guy for doing your job.
Man.
Can't you applaud
96 out of 100?
I applaud him staying healthy.
That's what I mean.
That's great. But this is what you're supposed to
but
do.
But he's playing through some stuff, unless you think it's all just.
I think everybody plays through little nagging injuries here. And LeBron's playing through stuff all season.
So I think that. So here's where I think
I'm just
that's
saying
a little,
I'm not going to like. Oh, yeah, he's played 96. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
No, but Brew, don't you applaud improvement? And it wasn't one of the knocks on him that, hey, LeBron got there. LeBron gave you the blueprint on how to stay healthy, how to take care of your body. Why have you not followed it more? And it would appear that over the last year and a half, he has. Like, there is a level of.
But what about the years? Why did it take that long?
Okay, well,
I don't want to criticize. I don't want to turn this into a negative against AD. I'm just saying.
To me,
I'm supposed to give you praise because you're playing games?
So, no, well, I guess. I put it in the same bucket as Kyrie in this regard, not health part of it. Like, should you, in a vacuum, be praised for not creating off-court nonsense? No, of course. That's the expectation. But if you consistently did, and now you appear to have gotten to a place where you no longer are, that does deserve some acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement is different than applause.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
Quickly, what do you think the Lakers' ceiling is?
All right, so this is the take that I told you before the show. I didn't tell you the show. Right. I told you that I had one.
I think I know it.
Okay.
You want me to guess?
Sure.
I think it's somebody else takes out the Nuggets.
Nope, not
and
it.
The Lakers can get to the
Nope,
finals.
That's
okay.
not it.
Okay.
So this is, so hear the entire thing. I'm talking to Brew in the audience. Let's just assume, and I know this isn't the case for everyone, let's just assume full health for everyone across the league, okay? Joker's not going to get hurt or, you know what I mean? And let's assume that no one's going to handle your business for you, meaning no one's going to take the Nuggets out on your behalf, you know what I mean? That if you want to get to the NBA Finals, you at some point are going to have to beat a fully healthy Denver Nuggets team.
Okay.
If that is the case, then the Lakers should hope they get them in round one. Because round one is the only round where you have multiple days between games, where you are going to theoretically be well rested for every game, where there isn't going to be the element of the Lakers just took seven games to beat Minnesota or Oklahoma City while Denver beat Houston in four and has been resting. And now you're playing them every other day. If you are right now, I think the Lakers versus the Nuggets in a playoff series, Lakers are probably a 15% chance. I know Wild, you'd have it at 0%, but I think Vegas probably have it around 15%. I think in round one, that might jump up to 20-25%. Because you can play LeBron heavier minutes, you can play AD heavier minutes, they're going to be the healthiest and freshest they're going to be. So as odd as it is, if the goal is just get as deep as you can in the playoffs, then obviously you want to avoid Denver as long as possible. If the goal is give us our best chance to make the finals and win a championship, your best chance is if you play Denver in round one.
By that, we got to get to your Cowboys.
I think they lose to Denver in round one, round three, round two, whatever it is.
But where would you give them the best chance?
I mean, I think there's different. They're coming through, likely coming through the play-in. So you've had to play games.
One game.
Intense game.
Probably
well,
one game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. But Denver. I think the thing too is that Denver has it out for the Lakers, particularly Michael Malone. So it's not like they're never going to be like take them lightly or, you know what I mean?
But don't you think that every other day part of it hurts the Lakers more than Denver?
I mean, because obviously you got more. Yes, I agree with that. That's the concern with LeBron. Like, can he be effective every other day?
Right, which, so I give you that. In the first round, you're not. In the first round, sometimes you have 3 days
between. You might be slightly right.
Yeah, I think it's a good take.
No extension for Dak, bro. Ian Rappaport reporting that. Basically, both Dak and the Cowboys are cool with no extension. Here's Jerry Jones. Take a listen.
We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year. Mm-hmm. And we can see as we move along how we are thinking, we inclusive of everybody here, us, Dak. And we'll see what we do. I don't have anything to report today.
Okay. Brew, could you see this being Dak's last year in Dallas?
This is why I get frustrated.
Why?
This is exactly what I've been telling you guys for 2 years.
What's that?
But you said, oh, Bruce, you're just a basketball guy.
Nobody said that.
Oh, Bruce, you don't know.
Who said that?
This is Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett, Emmitt Smith, Troy. They're not walking through that door.
We've never said that.
I can sum up what he said and what is happening this year for the Dallas Cowboys in 4 letters. S-B-O-B. They're S-bomb. Just like I've been saying, take a listen. What are the Cowboys?
The bust is Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
They have to be S-Bob. You know, I think they got to be S-Bob. Okay. S-Bob? Absolutely. S-Bob? Absolutely. S-Bob.
Okay.
I know y'all think winning a playoff game is going to be impressive. S-Bob. Y'all ripped me, including Greg Jennings, when I said for the Cowboys it is Super Bowl or bust. S-Bob. He basically said we S-Bob. Chris Broussard is right. We're S-Bob every single year.
Yeah.
So now they're – what do you think they are this year?
Look, you tell me. I want to hear y'all say it. We should have the trumpeters out here for y'all to say it.
Kind of agree.
Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, you're on a one-year deal. Heck, they just hired a defensive coordinator, and he's on a one-year deal. Mike Zimmer, Dak, let's see what you got. I mean, they're Micah, CD, I think they would keep them, but still, no extension.
No, they're getting the extensions this year. Mike
one
and
year.
CD this year.
Okay, this
sure.
1 year. Well, 1 year. They got 1 year to get it done, which
or
makes
bust.
Them what?
The true, it's it S Bob. Are you
Thank
don't believe in
you,
S Bob now?
So I'm
just, I know you don't
sure
want to say it. You don't want to give me props.
You've said it. Well, it was proven that you were wrong about him last year. Now, could it be that they're S Bob now?
You guys think that, bust means getting rid of the franchise?
No. How about happen. One significant
this is,
change?
This is significant.
What? Running
not
back with everybody?
Dak, not resigning Dak. Not resigning Dak. And losing five or
okay,
six starters.
So I'm just curious. S Bob means win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, and they're not going to do that.
Okay.
Super Bowl.
So, no, right.
I think it was
no.
Oh,
wait,
Bowl.
Well, that's what I'm
make
asking.
You're thinking W S Bob.
No, but really... No, just that, in my that, yeah. honestly, the real context uh-huh. of me saying it, because they're S Bob every year.
Yeah,
is there win it? Because they're the Cowboys.
Win it.
Win
oh.
it.
So, but so this is where once again you have the right idea and you just can't stick the landing on it. Because are you sitting here saying that if the Dallas Cowboys get to the Super Bowl and lose, I don't know, let's just pick a random team, to the Chiefs
yeah, in overtime,
that they are then going to be like Dak? You're out of here. McCarthy, you're out of here. Or are they going to reward them with massive extensions and Jerry Jones be thrilled and discuss what a great year it was? Because I think it will be that.
It would be the latter.
Well,
but here's
they're
the
not
problem.
S-Bob,
you
buddy.
Guys are taking bust literally. All right? I mean, let's really take it literally. Let's
anagram.
Take it. No, let's take it literally.
Okay.
You know what it means? No more Dallas
acronym.
Cowboys franchise.
Acronym?
That's
anagram
literal.
Is different.
Oh, it's
if we want to
oh, yeah.
be literal about it,
go.
You're getting rid of the franchise.
No.
I mean, seriously.
No,
like, no, Super Bowl or bust means we are not happy. Mm-hmm. We are disappointed. We have not had a great year.
Yeah.
Of course, there's different degrees.
Yeah.
But we are the Cowboys. We built our name. We became America's team because we win Super Bowls.
So, okay, sure.
That's what I'm saying.
So that part, that's why I say you don't stick the landing. Because that part I agree with you on. It's there are so many kernels of correctness wrapped in a package of wrong.
Yeah. I got a good question for you. Are the Chiefs Super Bowl or bust?
What?
This
of course.
Year. Okay, so if they don't win it,
uh-huh.
What's going to happen?
I don't Andy
They getting
Reed
a new
seat.
Quarterback?
I don't know.
Really? Stop
know.
It. See, that, no,
what
you
do you
know,
mean, Andy
Reed? They are more S-Bob than anybody, and nothing's going to
no,
happen.
But,
Andy Reed,
no, so that,
Mahomes,
so here's the thing. But
Chris
here,
Jones.
Here's actually where I disagree with you on that. Because when the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, so then they were clearly yeah. S-Bob, they then got back to the Super Bowl and lost and changed the entirety of a phase of their team. The entire offensive line got overhauled. So there are certain teams where you're Super Bowl or bust, but your faces of your franchise are entrenched. But it means that the Niners were Super Bowl or bust. You know how I know? Because they made the poor D coordinator get out. They're like, you know what? You're out of here, buddy. Don't care. The Eagles were S Bob.
What, so they, five, six starters walk
well,
this year?
Well, that was because they didn't want to let those guys go. They don't have money. They don't have money because, to answer this question, to be very clear, I do think that the Cowboys could. I still am not certain they're not going to fold and sign Dak. I think it's on the board they might.
That's fair.
But I think it is smart if they don't. I've said it before. I will say it again. I think that not signing Dak does not guarantee that you lose him.
But I agree with
and
you.
Because your downside is not locked in by not signing him, I think the upside of the flexibility and knowledge that can come along with how he performs this year, how everything plays out this year, is worth not locking him in at the peak of the market. Because the only thing he's going to sign right now is peak of the market. So I think this would be a smart move, even if it would be a gutsy move and a what I would call a non-traditional move. Usually teams, if they have 31, 32-year-old franchise quarterback, they always lock him up.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What's the best record, quarterback wins, that Dak could have where Dallas would be ready to move on?
Wait, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean?
The best record that Dak, that the Cowboys could have.
Where, and like, they still move on?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he could
playoffs,
be 15-2. But if they flame out and round
it's
one of the playoffs. Yeah, I think it's purely – I think it's in a weird spot where the regular season doesn't matter at all. If he missed the playoffs, that obviously would kill him. But I think if they're 10-7 and sneak in and go on a deep run, or if they're 15-2 in the one seed and lose their first playoff game, I think it's entirely because this.
Because he was great last year.
They've won three. They've had three consecutive 12-win seasons, and they're clearly
the
not that happy.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Wiles gets it.
You were 100%
Nick's
right.
Still
the whole
trying.
Time.
Thank you, Wiles. Thank
you. We're not doing Jaden. We don't have time.
Well,
we got to find time for the show.
You just went on that LeBron tangent.
And well, you derailed the show.
Nick was downright offended.
It's just I'm offended by weak takes. That's all I'm offended by.
I said there's six.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NFL win totals have hit the books. Mahomes and Chris Jones are back looking for the three-peat, but can they build on their regular season record that had them only going 11-6 last year? Here's a look at all the totals. Take a gander. The Bills and Dolphins are at the top. The Ravens, of course, AFC North. Texans over Mac Jones and the Prince. And then the Chiefs are at 11.5. So we're going to start with the overs. You can pick your favorite over from any team on the list. Who do you like?
Who's going first, Wilds?
You are going first.
All right, so my initial gut was Houston because I like Houston a lot, but then the AFC South has some brutal cross-divisional matchups, like the whole division has a brutal schedule, it feels. So I am going to surprise the audience here. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. They won 11 games last year in what was considered a disaster year.
And it was a bad year.
They have won 12 games or more in every year of Mahomes' career, and most of those seasons were only 16 games. They're now 17 games. They get 4 games against the NFC South, another 4 against Vegas and Denver. So they start with 8 wins. So the question is, can they go 4-5 in their other 9, which is their hard games? The AFC North, 2 against the Chargers, and then San Francisco, Buffalo, and Houston. Obviously, yes. Mm-hmm. And so typically the highest over-under is not a good over. For the Chiefs that almost hit it last year, despite it being a disaster year, I think 12 wins is a pretty safe bet, so I'll take over 11.5.
Okay. I definitely agree on the Chiefs. I think for a team coming off of 2 Super Bowls, they're going to have so much motivation. Like, I feel like most teams in this position don't have this type of motivation. But they got the three-peat, which wouldn't be unique to them, but they got the three-peat they're shooting for. You brought back Chris Jones. You lost Snead. Like, I just feel like, and they didn't have good receivers last year for the most part. Now they've added some to that core. Like, I think they're going to have a really good regular season. I think it's going to be way better than last year.
If I can just add to it, and I think they added motivation of, I know they proved they could go on the road. I don't think they want to do that again. I don't think they want, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, we showed we could, but that was a harder path. You know what I mean? And the Buffalo game in particular comes down to the final seconds, like, to not have to go through that level.
I think they're just so out to make history.
Yep. Can I just like to have one devil's argument? Remember when the Chargers would, like, do wacky stuff to beat the Chiefs?
They would try, yeah.
Yeah, but they did. They're like, we're going to go for it on fourth. That's what you hated, going for it on fourth and eight. But they're like, let's go all in to beat the Chiefs. This win is actually feels like it's worth more than one win. Same reason when the Lions beat the Chiefs early on. We're like, ooh, the Lions, and it was like winning. I feel like teams are going to play strangely against the Chiefs, sort of go all in.
But that can go, that can, maybe, that can flip, I assume that'll flip in both directions.
Yeah.
Maybe they lose a game they should have won, but then win a game they should have lost because the team does something goofy.
They're going to get everybody's
like
shot.
Like a fake punt in the divisional title or the divisional round at home in the three-point game in the fourth quarter.
Go, Brute. Who's your over?
Well, look, I still like the Ravens, the purple and black, but I'm not going with them because I saw something. 7.5 for the Steelers? I mean, this has got to be a joke, right?
Oh, so you believe Justin is going to start?
No, it could be Justin. I don't care who starts. They won 10 last year with Dusty playing quarterback.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, like, what are we talking? This is their best quarterback situation, regardless of which one it is. I'm serious. It could be Russ. It could be Just. But whoever is their starter, you mean to tell me their best quarterback situation in the past 5 or 6 years, and Tomlin's gonna have his worst season of his career?
So, well,
that's all I'm saying. He's never won 8 games, or you know,
fewer. He's never been below 500.
Yeah. I know they were only playing 16 a few years ago. So, I'm not even sure yet if they're gonna make the playoffs because that division's so tough.
Mm-hmm.
But they're gonna win 8 games at least.
So if Justin's the starter from week one, I'd agree. With Russell Wilson, I wouldn't. I also think you've got 6 games against the division, plus you play Dallas, Philly, and Kansas City. So that to me is 9 brutally tough games on that schedule. What's the best case for what they go in the division? 3-3?
Yeah,
you know, they might have gone 4-2 last year to be fair to them.
3-3.
3-3. And so I think that is, let me put it like this. I think that this total will be in jeopardy with 2 weeks left in the year. You know what I mean? Like, I think it will come down to the wire. It feels like they are 7, 8, 9 wins somewhere in there.
You ever heard of FWOB?
Let me think what that means.
FWOB.
Something or bust. What is it?
5 wins or bust.
Oh.
Patriots over. I mean, 5 wins. Guys, 5 wins. Last year we had 4. We beat the Jets, the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Bills. So we can beat teams. Here's the games that we lost. We lost 4. So we just need one more? We lost a 3-game stretch.
You lost the best coach in history.
Was he though? Here's a 3-game stretch we lost. They sound like high-scoring hockey games. 10-6, 10-7, 6-0.
Yeah.
So if Jaden comes in, hey, can you score 11 points?
But you,
like, yeah, I can. So, hey, can you not throw 4 pick sixes? Aaron Rodgers has 4 pick sixes in his entire career. We threw 4 last year.
But hold on, Wilds, real quick.
Drive for 5.
You don't think?
Drop the banner.
I understand that you 5, and, you know, after there's, you know, 5. A lot of America after a 10-episode documentary anti-propaganda attack of Bill Belichick called The Dynasty is down on Belichick. You're not worried that the defense that is going to take something of a step back?
No.
Okay, so you think protégé. Belichick was totally useless?
No, it's just protégé.
No. What does that matter?
He's had a lot of proteges.
What is it? The idea. Hold on. So you don't think the defense could take a significant step back?
Do I think having Christian Gonzalez and Judon back?
I get that.
Do I think that helps mitigate Belichick leaving? Yes.
Okay.
Do I think Belichick lost his fastball a little bit?
Okay.
Is that an unfair
I mean, listen,
take?
This is a sharp, believe
trying
it or not.
Trying to get 5 wins.
This he is did. A sh- taking he the did. Lowest win total and going over is
five?
A sharp play.
They should.
You win three on accident.
Yeah. I would think they'd get 5.
Moving to the unders. Nick, you can start us off here. It's a little more pessimistic.
Yeah, I mean, this is very simple. I'll just take a team that hasn't won 10 games in nearly a decade, might have the worst coach in football, is in a tough division, and by the way, only plays 3 teams all year that were worse than them last year, and that's the Jets. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, obviously.
The Jets could have the best season they have had since the Obama administration and go under.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Well, this is, I mean, if the Jets win 9 games, they're going to probably give everyone an extension.
With terrible quarterback play.
I understand
a quarterback that. They can't give away with a rack of ball.
No, I understand that.
For a rack of ball.
I also... Do not. So I think that they are going. I'll be very curious to see if the Jets are grown-ups when this draft happens, because they're sitting at number 10, and what they obviously should do is take Fuaga or whoever their favorite tackle available.
Get a wide receiver.
But what I think they're going to do is draft Brock Bowers or Rome Odunze, whatever shiny cool weapon is available. Just be like, fingers crossed on our 33-year-old tackles. No chance they get injured again.
Correct.
And so if they take the tackle, then I will believe in them more. If they're like, nope, we got to pretend like this year is all that matters, then we'll know what's going to happen. But either way, they are
great pick.
They're going to hit the under. They're not a playoff team.
Again, I'm not. This is early. I'm not saying they definitely get in the playoffs. They got to win 10.
Well, they do sad.
It's
cases.
All about. Yeah. It's all about health. It's all about health.
That's true.
And if these guys are healthy and Aaron Rodgers is 85% of what he was a few years ago. Why not?
85% of what he was when he won the MVP?
Yes, when he won
that's
the MVP.
He wasn't that
might be saying, I'm not convinced he will be. But if they're healthy and he's good,
sure
they can do that. All right, well, look, I'm sticking in the AFC East, and I got a little hint for you guys.
Oh, what is this?
You know what it is.
What is this?
No, I just want
to
keep doing it.
The Breakdancers!
Bring
Miami!
Them out.
I wish we had them. Yeah. Miami! All right, they went in 11. I mean, look, they've been figured out. And I like Mike McDaniel. I think he is a very good coach. But they lost some defensive players.
I mean, you mock the guy at every
they lost. I don't mock him.
What do you
I mock his toughness of his team. The toughness of his team. Xavier Howard wants out.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I just think that they were 1-6 against teams with winning
lost
records.
Christian Wilkins.
Right. I mean, Van Winkle. So I just think that they're
you don't like them.
Can I? Yeah. Can yeah. I? You know. Can I?
11 games.
Can I put an asterisk on that take?
11.
I would not.
10?
Anyone out there that's considering making this bet, I would just wait until the schedule's released. And you might be like, what does it matter? We know who they're playing.
Oh, it's too hot.
I want to know where and when their cold weather games are.
Yeah. If they're going
is there
to Buffalo
game,
in September.
Right. Is their game in Buffalo and in New England early?
Too, aren't they?
Right. But so that's my point.
It don't have to be that cold.
I understand. But so if they – I just want to know, like, are they – do they get their road dome games in December or in September? I think it affects them more than any team in the league.
I think they could win 10, but that's saying they're going to win 11.
That's a lot. I'm going Colts. And I want to root for the Colts. I want to root for Anthony Richardson, but – they went 9-8 last year. So do I think it could be flipped one game and they go 8-9? Yeah. Mac Jones gave them a touchdown in Germany. They won that game. Their kicker hit 4 50-plus yard field goals against the Ravens. They won that game. And I know we all like Anthony Richardson. Brute, he's completed 50 total passes. So we're basically entering kind of rookie year 2.0. So I think there's still going to be some growing pains there. Yeah, I think they go
the division's
8-9 instead of 9-8
this year, don't you think?
So,
well, the
Houston's going to be good. Jacksonville is what it is.
I think Houston and Jacksonville are
Titans should
fine.
Be better.
Titans are somehow going for it.
Oh,
they are going for it.
Oh,
they're
I
going
think the Titans
it.
Might end up with
you
the
don't
number
think they,
one
pick. I,
then they, why
really?
Are they signing everybody?
Yeah, because I think they're poorly run.
Wow.
Maybe. I think. Nah, do you think the Titans are going to be good?
I mean, they're
I think
trying.
They're going to be competitive.
They're trying.
They're going to be competitive.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, the other teams are not trying.
I wish they had kept Vrabel and signed all these guys, to be honest. But
Purdy.
Yeah, but you know why they didn't keep Vrabel? Because they're poorly run.
Yeah. All right, Calvin Ridley.
For $90 million.
But that doesn't, you know, they're not trying to win the spreadsheet Olympics. Let's check in on San Francisco. Jed York talked about Brock Purdy, who is currently earning less than the 49ers punter. Here's Jed on Brock's future. Take a listen.
I mean, I think it's a good problem when your quarterback is one of your highest paid guys on your team and in the league. It's what the market is, right? Like, it's not like Brock is going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before. You have, I don't know how many players making over $40 million as a quarterback right now. And when we signed Jimmy several years ago, you know, it was the largest deal in the history of the NFL for 3 minutes. But we're paying Jimmy 26 or 27. And you see, like, the market has just, it's changed.
Okay. Brew, does Brock deserve a monster payday?
The best thing about this good problem is you don't have to decide this offseason.
You're such a coward.
No.
You're unbelievable.
I'm dead serious. It's not about cowardice. It's about, I'm the type of guy that wants to be certain before I would give somebody a huge payday. I thought Kyler, yeah, he had pretty good his first 2 years. There's no way they should have signed him to that contract the first 3 years. Tua, I'm like, we got to see. Mm. Brock, he's had a year and a half, and he's been very good. I don't think he's comparable in a positive way to Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo never led the league in passer rating. He never threw for 4,000 yards. He never was in the MVP discussion. So Brock's been very good. But I get to sit back and watch it for one more year before I have to decide. And I do think this. I think Brock might be, speculation.
If you dare say, take a discount.
No, I think he's definitely the type of guy that would take a hometown discount.
Who are these guys?
I think he's smart enough. Now, we'll see what type of year he has. If he comes out and is way better than even last year, that could be different. But if he has a similar type year, I think he could say, you know what? I love Kyle's system. It fits me. I like what we got going here. And I'm talking about, would he take somewhere between 45 and 55?
Well, I have a lot to respond to there. First of all, I love Brew's optimism about guys taking discounts, despite the fact
that
no one ever does on their first deal. Nobody.
Mahomes didn't take quite as much as he could have got. He could have really got a lot more.
Well, Mahomes' deal was unique because he got something in return, which is the most truly guaranteed money of anyone ever.
But you know, most people thought that wasn't a great deal for him.
I get it, but it was also unique because it was 10 years long.
Brady took less.
It was not on his first deal, though. I'm saying everyone, when their first chance to get paid, get the most money they can get. So maybe Brock is different than everybody else, but that's not even the most, to me, noteworthy part. The most noteworthy part is, once again, despite all our arguments about Brock Purdy, Brew agrees with me
No, I don't. You didn't even think he belonged in the MVP conversation.
Wait, but Brew, which is a separate discussion than this one. This is about how, like, Wild, ask me right now about quarterbacks you know I like, if I would absolutely commit to them if I were allowed to right now, this moment.
Would you absolutely, if you had the paperwork there, give Trevor Lawrence, make Trevor Lawrence the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
56.5 million, whatever, yes. C.J. Stroud, yes, absolutely I would.
Now?
Yes.
1 year?
But that's the difference. You know I love C.J. Stroud. Right now, no.
CJ's not eligible, and Trevor's
neither is Brock.
And Brock's not eligible for another year.
I love CJ Stroud. I want to see him do it another year.
You didn't want to give Hurts the money.
Yeah, because I don't know that I think Hurts is great. And I know I don't think Purdy's great. And so the point that I'm making is this. We can say, Brew can throw at me all he wants, that I am holding his draft position against him. But we all know that if Brock Purdy was pick 1-1 and had this exact resume, Brew would not be sitting here saying, I need to see another year. Was pick 1-1.
I'm saying it about C.J. Stroud.
But no, but he hasn't the same resume. 2 years. He's had 2 years.
He's had 1.5 years. Not even 1.5 full years. So he's had a few more games than C.J. Stroud.
And you,
I just want to make sure before I throw that type of money at somebody. Okay. That's just my philosophy.
Yeah, that's. When are you making these deals?
When Brock's time is up, then I'll pay him.
Daryl Johnson.
If he, so many
no, I mean,
plays
in the real world, it feels like you have a real.
He owns a lot of business.
Yeah, I do.
Coming up in 10 short minutes, well, it's the best segment in all of sports, the basketball edition of Knicks Tears. Lots of surprises, so stay tuned. It's a great one. Kickoff weekend for the UFL Renegades versus the Stallions on Fox. Joining us for a preview is Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Daryl Johnson. Daryl, welcome back for another year. First question, what can we expect from this merger of the XFL and the USFL?
Thanks for the time today. I think the biggest thing this season is going to be the improvement in the depth across all eight teams. That was probably the hardest part of the merger, going from 16 teams down to eight. And it was our responsibility to make sure that we did the best job of getting the best players back into the UFL family. So I had two different mechanisms. We did a sole USFL acclimation of players. We did an XFL one, and then we did another one we crossed over. And I think the big thing that came out of that is the depth that we created through all eight teams. And, you know, we actually cut some starters from last year during training camp process. We've got starters that are playing backup roles this season. So I think the one thing that fans are going to see right away is the quality of play, the talent on the field. And then if by chance we were to have an injury, that there's depth behind that to maintain that style of play.
So that's exactly where I wanted to go, Daryl, because when 40 years ago when the original USFL came about, it was a different dynamic because some of the best players in the world were opting for that over the NFL, obviously. That is not the model of the current spring football league, and so having two competing leagues all competing for the same players always struck me that it was going to be hard. Now that you have one united league and fewer teams, how much of an obvious, you know, to the fans watching, almost visual cues of an improved level of play do you expect we're going to see this spring?
I think it's going to be very obvious. And you're exactly right, Nick. And I've said this before. This is going to be the most talented spring rosters you've seen since the early 80s when it was Reggie White and Steve Young and Mike Rozier and Herschel Walker, Doug Flutie. Now, I'm not saying we got Hall of Famers in our group right now, but what I am saying is because of the merger, the league is going to be very deep. It's going to be very talented. And you're going to notice that right away. And the two areas I think you'll see it the most, number one, quarterback. And number two, offensive line. And those are the two most critical areas. And if you're going to have good football, you've got to have good play in those two areas. And I think you're going to see an improvement across the league in both of those positions.
Well, Daryl, we've also seen guys go from both leagues to the NFL and have success. Kevontae Turpin, Brandon Aubrey, the kicker, both Pro Bowlers last year. Who are some of the guys we should keep our eyes on this year that could get to the NFL eventually?
You know, I think that that's going to be the fun thing because when you mention those two guys' names, those are two names that I probably wouldn't have picked year one or year two. So I expect it to be somebody that kind of comes up, you know, from the bottom of the pack, maybe somebody in a position you didn't anticipate, kind of like Brandon last year at kicker. Colby Wadman's a punter. This will be his third season in spring football. He was been in with Birmingham all 3 years. And we were at practice earlier in the week, and I was talking to Skip Holtz. And he is just bombing the ball, punting it. And I asked Skip, I said, are you surprised that he hasn't gotten a better look in the NFL? And he was in agreement. So, you know, that's one of those one-offs to maybe keep an eye on. But I think John Atkins in Memphis, talking to Dennis Polian, he's very, very high on him. Steve Kays was very high on Kenny Willekes, the edge guy coming off, you know, for Michigan. Jared Jones-Smith, a big tackle, big left tackle, has been in a lot of the spring football iterations over the last 5 years. He's another guy to keep an eye on. He was a late holdout, came to us late this year coming into training camp because he was hoping for a better opportunity in the NFL. So you got a couple of guys that we got our eyes on, but I really think it's always some of those guys that you least expected.
Daryl, technology last year, you debuted a lot of new stuff. Do you have other stuff in the cooker for the game broadcast this year?
just trying to make an improvement on what we've done so far. So we've added a little bit. We have more players with the ability to talk to the coaches. And we've been way ahead of that this year. You know, Scott Hardiman and Brad Campbell have done a great job, you know, on the IT side with everything that we're doing. And, you know, giving our coaches and our players reps during the course of training camp to get comfortable with that. But we can get up to 8 players, you know, on the field with the ability to talk to the coaches. My favorite has been the ability to watch the video during the course of the game on the sideline. You know, when I played, we had still photos, and, you know, if it's not shot in the right sequence, you know, you're trying to convince your coach, listen, the safety came from over here. You know, I need to know where he was. How did I miss him? How did I not see him? With our guys on the sideline, being able to go through and watch the play with live video, you get to see the entire play develop. You know, what was the disguise? How did they rotate? Where did the blitz come from? And then our quarterbacks have actually said, you know, I watch it so much on the sideline during the course of the game that when I watch it with my coach on Monday, I'm seeing it for the second time. So I'm a lot further down the road in understanding that. So I think it's something that the NFL, you know, should really take a long, hard look at. The NCAA put it in the bowl games last year. It was something they did, having some of the live video on the sideline last year in the bowl games. And I know it's helped our players a lot. And with the access that we grant to our production teams with Fox and ESPN and ABC, our sideline reporters a lot of times are right there while they're talking about things and describing things and asking questions and really kind of bringing that viewer kind of in that sideline huddle to find out exactly what happened on those plays.
Yeah, that was cool last year. All right, well, thank you very much, Daryl. We'll be watching Stallions Renegades, 1 o'clock on Fox. Thanks again.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Daryl.
We'll be right back. Live from New York, it's the show that will invert the pick and roll. It's the second hour of First Things First. Today, NFC win totals are out. Why, the Cowboys are already locked in a battle with the Eagles. Meanwhile, revenge game or total dud? What do we expect from Harden's Philly homecoming tonight? But right now, well, you're in for a treat. Last night, in the basement of a store that only sells pants with no sheen, a select group of scholars, athletes, and former rivals fought and toiled and burned the midnight oil to deliver the definitive basketball team hierarchy. No, it's not power rankings. It's time for Nick's tears.
You get me every time, Wilds. All right, we have some movement in the basement. Some sub-tier movement, if we can show you. Move down to contraction, the Hornets, and move down to sub-relegation, the 11 consecutive loss Toronto Raptors. Ever since winning that title, I'm not really sure what the Raptors' plan has been. I don't really know. But so that's the basement. There is where we're at. All right, cool story, bro. And it's a cool story, bro. Like, listen, Pacers.
The magic?
Listen, we're happy for you. You all have different ceilings. The Rockets, it's get to the play-in. Mm-hmm. Right. The Pacers, it's make the real playoffs. And for the Magic, it's win around. I don't think the Pacers can win around with their defense. But you're just a cool story. Yeah. You're not a threatening team. It's just a cool story, bro. Birkin bags. So Wilds knows all about these. Brew maybe doesn't. So these are purses that cost up to $100,000.
What? Someone's paying $100,000. Your wife has one?
No. But no. I mean, people are obviously. But if you've ever actually seen one in person, you look at it and you're like, this is the same as like any nice purse I've ever seen that might cost $800. So why are? So these are the three most expensive teams in the NBA, and they're the same as every run-of-the-mill decent team. So why do they cost so much? Name recognition. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Russell White. Well, Russ is cheap, Harden, all of it. But these teams are not very good. And none of them are going to make round two of the playoffs. A couple of them might not even make the actual playoffs if things keep going. Next, Machiavelli. Everyone's read The Prince, of course. What's his famous quote? It is better to be feared than loved if you can't be both. Everybody loves these teams. Nobody fears them. Like, oh, listen, we're proud of the Knicks. They play hard. The Cavs dealing with Donovan's injury. Light that damn beam, Sacramento, even if De'Aaron Fox doesn't want to talk to the media at all ever. My goodness, De'Aaron, what did we do to you? But nobody fears you in the playoffs. Everybody knows what you are. We like your fan bases. We respect the players and the coaches, but you're not feared at all. can see a path here. You can see it. For the Pelicans, it's get Ingram back, have Zion continue on this trajectory.
Yeah.
CJ having a quiet year. It's not an easy path, but you can see it. For the Sixers, it's very simple. Maxey maintains, Embiid comes back, has his first great playoff run. I'm not saying it's a likely path, but you can at least see the path. Need proof of concept. Okay, so these two teams are excellent. However, the last time Oklahoma City won a playoff game, Chris Paul was prominently involved, and last time they won a series was 2016. Minnesota, Bruce, do you remember the year? I know you do. Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Kevin Garnett.
Covered that series.
The Minnesota Timberwolves have won four playoff games since that season, since KG's MVP season. Yeah. So we know you're excellent regular season teams. We know you have excellent players, well-coached. But until we see this group of guys win a round in the playoffs, it's going to be hard to fully believe you can win three or four rounds. Playoff nightmare for very different reasons. For the Mavs, it's just raw talent. It's that Luka's playoff stats rival Michael Jordan's, literally, as far as a per-game basis, and Kyrie's playoff moment, some would argue, is the best in NBA history, certainly on the short list. For the Heat, it's about culture, history, and pedigree. There, nobody wants to see either one of these teams lined up against them in round one, no matter what they did in the regular season. The media was right. Why are you guys spending so much time on the Lakers? Other team, no, the media was right. Lakers are actually incredibly interesting, incredibly dangerous, and nobody wants to play. You saw it last night when they were without LeBron James. Now, Wilds thinks that's their key, is sit LeBron for the rest of the year. Maybe they can go on a run. Smart people recognize that that is not the case. But the Lakers, despite their pedestrian starts to every season, it would feel, since they won the championship, this time of year, if they are healthy, are one of the four most dangerous teams in basketball. Next, trust your head or your heart. Head says Boston. What, top 5 point differential ever? They're going to win 65 games. They're deep. They have they check off every box. They keep banging on the door. Your heart says, in a series, do I trust any of those guys to be the man against either of the best two guys the Bucks has? In a series, do I actually trust? My heart says Milwaukee, your head says Boston, and then, of course, at the top, for the very first time, hitting another gear.
Yeah.
Finally.
Since the All-Star break, this team is 15-2. Those two losses, one in overtime to Phoenix and one the Kyrie skyhook. they are in overtime and one of the greatest buzzer beaters this year, away from being 17-0 since the All-Star break. They're healthy. They're terrifying. They are at the top of the tiers. Those are
excellent.
The tiers for March 27th.
Really, I like the titles. I like the titles. But I said last week the Heat are too high. I still believe that. But I'm going to focus on the Mavericks.
Okay.
I would move the Mavericks up a tier right next to the Lakers.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Mavericks are dangerous. And I know I've said you can't win it all with just one guy, kind of everything revolving around him. I'm not saying they're going to win it all. But I think they can have a deep playoff run. I don't think they can win it all, but I think they can have a really deep playoff run out west. They have won 17. They've gone 17-6 over the last 23. And they've won 9 of their last 10. And the key, they made some really good moves at the trade deadline. Yeah. Daniel Gafford, the center. Look at the numbers of the last 10 games. Defense is the huge key. We know they weren't stopping anybody earlier in the season and when they had some of their losing streaks. Since they put Daniel Gafford in as the starting center, 6'10", gives them some physicality, a little more toughness. Their defensive rating, you see there, is second. It was 23rd when Gafford's not the starter. They're 11-1 with him as a starter. P.J. Washington was a good pickup as well. Gives them more depth. You still got Lively, who's had a great rookie season. So the Mavericks, you know, you got the two unstoppable offensive players. Now they've got guys playing defense. They got some shooters. They've got depth. I like what they're doing, and I think they're as dangerous as the Lakers are.
That would be, because of where they are in the standings, it's almost impossible that we would see it unless it were in the conference finals. But Lakers Mavs would be a hell of a fun series to watch. For, you know, for a lot of reasons.
The storylines.
Also, if you guys remembered at the deadline,
yeah,
when I was complaining about the Lakers not doing anything, Daniel Gafford was the guy that I used as the example of, like, he's not a life changer, right, but to improve your team around the margins,
you need
it's exactly
like
right, and it's exactly what Dallas was able to do. So I'm with you, bro.
Okay, I'm going to move the Lakers down, and I don't want to take shots at the media, and I think you made a lot of solid points on they're dangerous.
Oh, but they have LeBron coming back, so it'll probably get worse.
First of all, we don't know how much LeBron we're going to get. He's on a back-to-back. He plays in Memphis tonight, but he told Chris Haynes via text that he has to manage this ankle throughout the finish line, wherever the finish line is. So that's going to be a constant worry, especially as we get to the playoffs and the games get a little bit tighter. But it was this quote from D'Angelo Russell via Dave McMenamin that's in very small font, but I'll read it dramatically. And I think, as I read this, is he saying this is a good thing? Like, is he like an unpredictable boxer? I don't know which way they're going. I think we're an unpredictable team. So it depends on which team you get. Depends on which team we are defensively, offensively, as a unit. Some guys are better than others. Some nights, some guys have bad nights. It just depends on what team we're going to be. When we're in full effect, like tonight with no Bron, though, I think we're hard to beat. That's true. But it's almost like this is the identity of the team, where they roll the dice and like, hey, tonight we're great defensively. Oh, tonight we're just a little soft. Tonight, LeBron's the guy. Tonight's AD's offense is clicking. Tonight, D'Angelo Russell's not going to be able to shoot. Nope, today I'm going to be the hottest player in the NBA. Hey, Austin Reeves, are you the third part of a big three? Nope, I'm just like a random guy that just had a good playoff run. So the unpredictability of the Lakers, when I like consistency in the playoffs, I think deserves a spot down.
That's kind of what LeBron said, too. Remember, he said we could beat anybody,
we could lose anybody. It's because me and LeBron.
I agree with your quote, or with his quote. The reason that, to me, that's less of a blemish, if you will, on the Lakers is, in my opinion, the three best teams are so clearly the three best teams. Denver, Boston, Milwaukee. That I think the only way anybody, Milwaukee may be in a separate category, but is going to beat one of those teams is via unpredictability and very, I don't think it's going to be like, hey, we just have to be our consistent selves. And or you're going to have to get on a 2-week red hot streak to beat Denver. Now, that does this mean the Lakers could be a team that if they were to, like I said earlier, play Denver in round one and win, that they could then lose in round two to anybody? Sure.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
They probably would.
I don't think they're an incredibly reliable team, but I think outside of those top three teams, they have the highest ceiling of any team in the league. How long can they maintain that ceiling?
That's good analysis, I thought.
I think that unpredictability is because one, AD, he's unpredictable, especially offensively. And then LeBron's injuries. Is he playing? You know, he has to sit out some games. So
questionable rotations, by the way, if somebody could too.
Oh, first look at Pro Day from Jaden Daniels. Now, usually I'm not a fan of these Pro Days. I find them kind of boring not a real indicator of success after Zach Wilson wowed us all. But this one looks good. I'm feeling great.
That looks different than the other ones you've seen.
He's just in on
not shape. Totally different.
Yeah.
But you know, totally. I like the Heisman Trophy winner here, who had 40 touchdowns. Oh, there we go. Well, let's call that perfect. I haven't seen a beautiful ball like that since Mac Jones rookie year. Is everyone else in on Jaden to the Patriots? Anybody? Okay. Show of hands, including the staff.
So listen, I like of all the quarterbacks after Caleb. I like Jaden the most because of the upside. Now, you guys know I don't like skinny football players.
I have an update for you.
Okay, sure.
Because I knew you were going to say this. 6'3", mm-hmm. What do you want him to weigh?
Well, what he really weighs or what he weighed today? Because what he weighed today is probably 210. What he really weighs is probably 196. What's the answer? I haven't looked. What did he weigh today,
Did you Wilds? See my paper?
I swear to God, no. What did he weigh today?
210.
Okay, yeah. I mean, but with that said, because you're fighting in a conference of giants, including the tallest man to ever live, Patrick Mahomes, you got to go upside, and I think Jaden has the most upside. So if you're going to draft a quarterback, I'd draft him, but I wouldn't draft a quarterback if I were in England. Can I make the case, Brew?
Yeah, what?
I think that any quarterback that goes to New England is set up as poorly to succeed as any spot in the league. They have a mediocre at best offensive line, the worst group of skill position guys in the league, a rookie, defensive-minded head coach. All of these things. And because you are sitting at three in a draft that we know the team at six might want a quarterback, definitively the team at 11 wants a quarterback with an extra pick, teams at 12 and 13 want a quarterback, and the Chargers are dying to trade back. So teams would need to then kind of move up in front of them. If the Giants would give you six and 47 and next year's second, six, and you move down three spots, and guess what? Then you draft Joe Alt. Or if Minnesota gives you 11 and 23 and next year's second, and then you draft Fuanga, the second best tackle. I think New England is not ready yet to drop in the quarterback. And I think they have to truly rebuild it with blue chip players.
Not a horrible take.
I was going to say that.
Wow.
I first of all, I don't think Jaden's going to be there. I think he's going to Washington at two.
Okay.
All right. There are a lot of people that think he is the second best quarterback in the draft. There's a couple of people that think he's the best. So I think he's the guy that Washington's going to take. But I kind of agree with Nick Wiles. Like, y'all need so much. Now, if Jaden or whoever they draft at three, if he really is some superstar, maybe he can make it work with what they have. But my goodness, the skill position players aren't great. You mentioned the offensive line. The defense, okay, that's good. We think it's been good under Belichick. We think it'll be good this
year.
It'll still be good. They aren't set up for a quarterback, a young quarterback right now. And I know it's not sexy and
all
that.
I like Jacoby Brissett.
Maybe that's why.
So listen, when you say then go Wilds. When you say, you know, if he's that good, maybe he can do it. People will point to CJ. What should be noted about CJ is this: they have arguably the best left tackle in the league in Tunsil.
Yep.
They have a Pro Bowl guard is it Mason? It's the former Patriot. I mean, forget whoever the right guard is. D'Amico was a rookie head coach, but was awesome. Maybe Jared Mayo will be, but that's a question mark.
Yes.
They had Nico Collins, who's better than anybody the Patriots have, and they drafted Tank Dell. Now you could also draft a guy.
We didn't know those guys were that good.
But Nico, you had an idea, was pretty good. And so it's not the same setup as Houston was in.
Okay, two things. One, and you kind of got to where I was. I'm very high on Jaden, and Josh pulled the last great LSU quarterback.
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
Good. The numbers
are right there. So Burrow came in right away to Cincinnati, turned it around quickly. The nice thing about Joe Burrow was he was able to throw to a teammate. So this was the note I made for Jaden, because the story about Tank Dell is that Tank Dell, when he was still available in the draft, was texting CJ, and CJ's like, yeah, we'll come get you, basically. So I would need Jaden to do a little double duty and scout some wide receivers that he would like to play with. Tank was 69, so in the third round. You make a valid point, but here's the giant caveat in the football owners' meetings in Florida. Robert Kraft, who is staying out of football decisions, said as a fan, he would like to see us draft a quarterback. But just as a fan, because he was a Patriots fan before he actually bought the Patriots. So as a fan, so I don't know if you're the brand new GM, Elliot Wolf, you're like, I just heard Mr. Kraft, who is staying out of football decisions.
You talk to him. You let him know, look, our evaluations are showing. You know, you explain to him why you may not take a quarterback and see what he says.
And
patience is running thin.
Also, let me just say this.
Yours is a good take.
That if you were to trade with the Giants, you could there's a world that exists where you could trade down to six and still get Jaden.
See, I'm not mad at that.
Now, it's a risk. You wouldn't know it. But obviously, Jaden, you'll know if Jaden's there at three. And then it'd be your job to do the due diligence on, are the Giants trading up like people think for J.J. McCarthy?
What?
And then I'm just telling you what the people think, that the quarterback the Giants like is J.J.
If I'm Daniel Jones, I'm losing my mind. Okay, Marvin Harrison's on the board and you're taking my replacement?
Giants, if the Giants trade up, it's not going to be to draft a receiver. the Giants trade up, it is only to draft a quarterback. Now,
stay there.
You have to worry about someone jumping up to four or five and taking Jaden. But I think the Patriots are so, and I'm not trying to take a shot, they are just so naked of talent on the offensive side that it's just a lot.
That's fair.
And it should also be noted real quick, the reason that the Bengals were able to draft Ja'Marr Chase was because they were so bad Burrow's rookie year, because they were so naked of talent, he got his knee buckled and he got it blown out for the season. And so, like, that's not really a plan. They didn't plan to draft Ja'Marr Chase the next year, but they were that bad because their quarterback got hurt because they weren't ready.
Okay, not a great segment. James Harden returning to Philadelphia next, dropping 40. The over-under is 16.5.
Over.
Tomorrow.
Maybe they'll be on the Bud List.
Oh, that would be good. Mm-hmm. Most motivational segment in all of sports, the Bud List. I'm excited for that. Metal Stein, Thunder Pelicans. Trey Murphy is trying to posterize Chet. Chet says, no, I'm not going to be on another poster, actually. Thunder win this one.
I was wrong about a lot of Chet stuff, and you appear to have been right. One thing I was dead right on, wasn't going to gain more weight. You guys are like, oh, he'll fill out.
No, I never
out.
Said I didn't want him to.
He'll gain a little more.
No,
but you're,
I don't
he's
believe
never
in gaining
big.
A bunch of weight. That's
he's
how
like Kevin
leads
Durant.
To injuries.
Okay. Bronze medal, Austin Reeves. 29-14-10, second career triple-double, back at the end of regulation and at the end of the second overtime. Killer threes that Reggie Miller in real time was imploring him not to take, he then took and made, and the Lakers won. Silver medal, Luka, 28-11-6. Listen, I'm watching the games. It's just what happened. 28-11-6 for Luka in a dominant win over the Kings. De'Aaron Fox very unhappy after the game. Seemingly odd press conference after. But I love De'Aaron. Probably love Luka a little more. Big win for the Mavs. Gold medal, AD. 34-23, four blocks. A dominant performance that did remind you of the fact that it was not that long ago that Anthony Davis versus Giannis was a real debate.
Yeah.
That Anthony Davis was winning. And then things changed. There's the podium from last night. The Associated.
One last night.
Yeah.
I would consider like the head-to-head.
Yeah.
Harden is headed back to Philadelphia tonight. The Sixers were just in L.A., where they held their former teammate to 12 points, while Harden held his former teammate in a headlock. Brew, what are you expecting tonight from the beard?
Probably some more foolishness.
Really?
I mean, does he bear hug the mascot? Does he? I don't know what Harden's going to do. But I'll say this. He should go out there and play a great game.
Doubtful.
He only had 12 points. It's got to burn him up that Philly came in there without Embiid and beat them in L.A.
True.
So I'm hoping the brother shows
all right,
up and does damage.
I understand this late
saying.
Notice. Let's go to this game. 90-minute drive to Philly right now. Let's go to the game. There's great gambling houses there.
I didn't have the
you can
gambling
do the odd
houses.
Couple from there. Yeah, there's good casinos and gambling houses. Let's go to this game.
To
this game.
Not to be weird, but what's a gambling house?
Well, it's like a gentleman's, not gentleman's club, but yeah, it's like a place where you can, like.
Go to my phone at my house, to be honest with you.
Okay. Like so you guys don't want to come with me to Philly?
I don't
Let's go to Philly.
Are you going?
Let's go watch
the game. Next. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:00.